teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Give us this day our daily bread is the fourth request in the Lord's Prayer. We're going to tackle that today on Abounding Grace as we continue our study in the Lord's Prayer so that you as a Christian might know how to pray, and as the Lord taught us to pray, that we might bring glory to Him in the way that we talk to our Heavenly Father. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org, the numbers 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We're thankful for all of your prayerful and your financial support. You can support us right online there at agradio.org. You can also find us on Facebook. Any communication is always a blessing to us, so thanks for taking time to do that. Well, today on Abounding Grace Radio, we have again Pastor Mike Brown on this Friday session, continuing our study in the Lord's Prayer, the last section of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is the section that teaches us how to live thankfully before the Lord. Now that we are redeemed, now that we are saved by the blood of Jesus, we've been justified, we have peace with God, all the benefits of Christ have been given to us, and now how do we respond to the Lord? Well, the Heidelberg teaches us that the chief way we can show our thanksgiving as Christians is to pray, is to talk to Him. It would be a very unnatural thing in a relationship never to talk to the person. And here, our God has saved us and invites us to come to the throne of grace. And I guess that's just important, Mike, to say. We have to first realize what a privilege prayer really is, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it does feel like work at times. Prayer can be difficult for us because we're sinful and we're selfish. But we do have to realize that, as you said, Chris, every relationship requires communication. And God speaks to us through His Word, through His sacraments, His visible Word. And we respond to Him in prayer. Even our singing really is a form of prayer. But it's important that we bring our prayers to Him, prayers of confession, prayers of praise, prayers of petition. And that's really what the Lord's Prayer summarizes for us, is a perfect prayer of praise and petition.
Right. So today, now we have worked through the first three requests here so far in the Lord's Prayer. And we made this point last time that in these first requests, we are really ordering and framing our prayers as the Lord taught us to, by first caring about and addressing and asking Him what He wants us to do. That really helps us. I mean, think about this. Hallowed be Your name. We're first focused on His name, His glory. We're thinking a lot about His kingdom, His righteousness, what He's doing in the earth, what He is advancing, and desiring that our wills in the third request, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, our wills are brought in conformity to His will. So right at the beginning of the prayer, at the beginning of prayer, He's teaching us here, Mike, right, to frame our prayers for His glory. It's not just about everything that we want. It's not just about coming to Him saying, give me this and give me that, and I pray for Aunt Susie, and which is typically how prayer goes today. The Lord first is teaching us to glorify Him in prayer, correct?
Absolutely. That's an important point, because I think we have a tendency to pray like this. Our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread.
Right.
We jump right to that. And there's a place for that. There's a place for simply crying out to the Lord. You know, we're not saying that the Lord doesn't hear your prayers when you're desperate and you're crying out to Him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, teaches us how to pray to the Father by directing our thoughts first upon Him. As you said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The focus first is upon asking God to do things for Himself, to glorify Himself even through us. And so that helps us, and especially helps us even as we come to him with our anxieties about not having enough daily bread or the things that we need. When we first begin to focus upon God and his glory and get our priorities straight, sometimes that helps our anxieties subside a little bit.
Right. That's really helpful. And our problems then seem quite a bit smaller. I mean, this is the whole really effect of the psalmist who first taught us when we look at those psalms of praise and prayer, which is what they were, they're the prayers of God's people in the past. Notice that they're beginning with the exaltation, the glory, the praise of the Lord. And then it goes into the reasons for that praise. And then the concerns of the psalmist often come out. But we see that model, and sometimes people use sort of the Acts model of prayer, right? But that adoration is very important to prayer. And we see that here, that the Lord really teaches us that in the first part of this prayer. But that being said, now we come today, and this is a beautiful thing in this particular prayer, that the Lord cares about our needs, right?
Right. That's right.
The Lord cares about what you need. The Lord knows you have needs. The Lord knows that this burdens us.
Right.
The Lord knows that constantly we face a lot of stress and worry in this life. And here is a particular petition after it's been framed correctly that we can now come to the Lord with and ask him, give us this day our daily bread. How good is the Lord just to give us an entire petition so that he would essentially, casting our cares upon him because he cares for us, he would take these burdens for us.
That's right. I mean, God is the one who made our bodies. He's the one that made these things that need bread and need certain fuel in order to continue in life. And so he does care for us. He's the one that created the universe. He's given us this beautiful home that we live in, and that it all requires his providential hand and care and governance. And so it shows his tenderness to us and the way in which he loves to uphold and oversee his creatures and all things, that he tells us to pray and to come to him. We have to remember, he is a loving father. We're not going to him as our judge. We're going to him as our father. He is no longer our judge because he already judged us in Jesus Christ at Calvary. And so now we go as children to our Father, first bringing our reverence to him, bringing our respect to him, paying our homage to him, bringing him petitions that are fixed on his glory. But we're not hyper pious or spiritual here. You know, it would be easy to be too pious and only pray for God's glory and think, well, we never bring up any of our own needs. God is not like that. God is also tender. And so he says, now bring this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, focusing on each day how we need to bring our needs before him.
So the Heidelberg answers this as it asks the question in Lord's Day 50, what does the fourth request mean? Give us this day our daily bread. What that means is, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. I mean, it's a great answer. And I think that maybe to really show the challenge of this, you know, I remember growing up and I was taught to pray this, and I would think, well, do I lack daily bread? We live in the United States, right? I mean, we can go to the pantry, we can open up our refrigerators, and I have to tell my kids, it didn't, you know, this was grown somewhere, this food.
Right,
this comes
right
from somewhere else. It's not just sitting in the pantry all the time, but that we have had so much plenty, so much blessing in this country. It's really something I think special here for us to come in prayer with childlike faith, trusting and recognizing that everything we have does come from the Lord and that we are dependent upon him for that. That spirit of dependence and childlike faith is really the spirit of this particular petition, right?
That's absolutely right. I mean, we don't live in an agrarian society anymore as people did for thousands of
right
years. And so in Jesus's day, I mean, this was common, you know, having bread, that was life. That was gold. I mean, if you could get your hands on a loaf of bread, that was a big deal. It took also time to make those things. These are things we take for granted today. I mean, we have such abundance, such affluence. Bread is so readily accessible and available. I mean, you can live on very little now, at least in Western society, because food is so accessible. It's not like it was in the ancient world where everything you saw grow. Mm-hmm. Any meat that you ate, you saw the animal and then it was killed. It wasn't simply going to the supermarket right. and going to the frozen section and picking out, you know, your cutlets or, you know, whatever choice beef you wanted. You had to grow something and care for something. So give us this day our daily bread. You realized also you were dependent upon the weather. You were dependent upon God who superintends all of these things. And so you are asking him for his mercies and his care, things that we often take for granted in these days.
Right. That's absolutely right. And you mentioned the weather. I think it really does show a dependence here and asking the Lord in his providence. Remember what the doctrine of providence teaches us, that nothing really does happen by chance in this life, does
right.
it? And that God is ordering everything, whether it's, and we can read this right out of Lord's Day 10, providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which he upholds with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. Well, here we see us an avenue now to express that trust and dependence on him in prayer. If everything comes from his fatherly hand, we should, as his children, daily come to him. And notice there's the emphasis in this prayer on daily
right.
talking to him about this and expressing our thanksgiving, but also asking him to meet the basic needs and necessities of life. I that really does have an encouraging factor to the relationship itself. I think the Lord is really showing us here and teaching us. In other words, you can come to him and talk to him as your father.
Absolutely.
And your father, as Jesus said, when a son asks him for bread, is not going to give him a stone.
Right. And I think there's also, a side to this petition. Not only are we asking him for things, but we also should be thankful for the bread that he provides us. You know, this is one of the reasons we pause before a meal and we give thanks to God for the things that are on the table or that are on the plate. It's helpful too for us, I think, as Christians, to pause for a minute and think about what we're eating and where it came from.
Right, right.
You know, if you're eating tacos, you have tortillas that came from corn that was grown. You have beef that were from cows. And we need to thank God for his providential power and ways that allowed for all of that to end up on our table. You know, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we don't go outside and wait for manna to fall from heaven.
Right.
Rather, God uses a complex system of bringing together all of the food that we need on a daily basis. And so, but of course, the petition is more than just food. It's for all of our physical needs. You know, as we come to him asking for needs for our health, needs for provision, needs for a new job, that's essentially what this petition is getting at, is showing our dependence upon the Lord, but also being thankful for the details and thankful for what God has given us.
Right. That's exactly right. And notice here that the Heidelberg emphasizes the source of everything that's good. The scriptures are constantly emphasizing this, that everything that you enjoy in this life, everything that you have, is something that comes down from heaven from the Father of lights. He has blessed us with every good and perfect gift. And so here we're expressing that in prayer. And I think one thing that the Heidelberg really captures that I believe is so helpful is that how inappropriate worry is. I mean, it's always fascinating to me, Mike, how much time Jesus devoted in his teaching to this problem, where he talked about worrying what you're going to put on or what you're going to eat. And he cautioned against that and said, I'm going to provide all those good things. And we even have the great passage in Philippians, right? You can read it, that we shouldn't worry about anything and everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, as we talked about, we should make our requests known to God. So again, worry is so inappropriate to the Christian life when we have a Heavenly Father who's supplying every good and perfect need.
That's right. And there's something good that happens to us when we are asking God for these things and then recognizing his gracious hand in providing them. As Paul talks about, you know, bringing our petitions to him with prayer and thanksgiving, he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's something about prayer in that as we go to the Lord and say, Lord, here's our needs, here's the things that we need for our daily bread, and you lay out your needs before the Lord, and then recognizing how he provides for them. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we take for granted the things that we enjoy in this life and don't realize that it is answered prayer. As I said, every meal when you sit down to eat. One of the things we try to teach our kids at home is that there are people in the world who are without bread. There are people in the world who are hungry, who don't live in the West and live in an affluent society. And so we need to be thankful for this one meal that we're eating here today. There is a certain peace, though, in recognizing God has heard my prayer and he has provided for me. And even if it doesn't happen the way that I hope it happens, I know that he has heard me, and I know my Father is good, and the promise is that his peace will guard my heart and my mind, thereby keeping me from anxiety and worry.
Right, that's such a great verse. I mean, the word he uses there is like a garrison around the heart and the mind. And when we think about when we're stressed and when we're worried, what is assaulted? Our hearts and our minds, and the Lord is saying, I'll take care of that. I will help you. I will supply your need. This is why he's inviting us to come to the throne of grace. So that then, how inappropriate, even in work too, work and worry in life. How much then does this show we're worried about money?
Mm-hmm.
Think of the problem of money. How many homes right now, if we were to be honest, even Christian, especially Christian homes, are really bound up and then struggle over financial problems and money and worry over these things. And it could be that there have been a series of very bad decisions made. There's been a lot of selfishness. In the next petition, we're going to be dealing with the issue of confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness. But this doesn't take away the Lord's desire here to help us, to supply our needs. And this trains us. And this is one of the things I love about this particular petition, Mike. If I'm coming to the Lord sincerely in prayer, it's training me to be honest with his good gifts. It's right. Training me to use his good gifts wisely, to not spend recklessly with his good gifts, but to realize that they came from the Lord.
Right.
They're his. And if we had that perspective that everything we have ultimately was a gift from him and that we're praying that way, it's going to really drive the way then that we spend and use those resources, correct?
That's right. And we have to remember, even if we have worked hard, who gave us the ability to work? Who in his providence allowed us the opportunity to have that job? Even if we have put in the time and we've used our talents and abilities and we've achieved something, well, who's given us those talents and abilities? God, we are utterly and totally dependent on him. And the sad thing is, Chris, oftentimes we don't realize how dependent we are upon God until some kind of tragedy strikes, until maybe there's a huge natural disaster where suddenly food is scarce, or we're stricken with some disease and our health goes out the window, and suddenly we realize how dependent we are upon God for every breath we take, every beat of our heart. And so the Lord wants us to remember that we are his creatures. And by going to him each day, asking for our daily bread, asking for our needs, it helps us to bring that focus back of God being God and we being his creatures. And also that he is good. As Peter tells us, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And isn't that really played out in the way that this prayer operates? I mean, we go to him, we humble ourselves by saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we come and we cast our anxieties on him. Give us this day our daily bread.
Maybe a practical thing to help people with this. And we think about when we're coming and asking for this, and we've talked about, well, who really lacks daily bread living in the United States? And yet, how much debt are people in? So in a sense, there is a lot of slavery to debt. There's a lot of real bondage in this area of life. How do we help someone through that? Mike, who, and I'm sure somebody's listening right now who just has it piled on, they've gotten themselves into a hole. How do you come to the Lord and say, give us this day our daily bread? What are we asking if we're in that kind of situation? How do we go forward in that kind of mess that so many people are in?
Right. Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with praying and asking the Lord for deliverance and relief. But the one thing to keep in mind, too, is a perspective on the things that we have. You know, how did we get into that situation? Of course, there's all kinds of different reasons for that being. But what are we doing with the things that we have? Are we showing our real dependence upon the Lord? That's the spirit of this petition here. You know, one of the things I suggest to, new married couples when I'm doing premarital counseling is what I call the 80-10-10 rule. Try to live off of 80% of your take-home pay and then tithe 10% and put away 10%. I mean, that's not a hard and fast rule, but it's some basic guidelines. What I find oftentimes is that there's people who don't live by that. You know, they're trying to achieve and get everything that they want, and they're living maybe off of 100% of their take-home pay or 150% of their take-home pay
right.
by going into debt, and they're not doing any kind of tithing or giving, which is really there, not because God needs our money, but it's really there to show our dependency upon Him and that we are contributing something to the furtherance of the gospel. And I think that that's an application of this very petition.
Right. Right.
When we're saying, give us this day our daily bread, we trust you, Lord, to provide for us. And all that we have ultimately is what you have entrusted to us. We're mere stewards of these things. So make us wise as stewards as you give us our daily bread.
Right. This keeps us so honest in that kind of posture of prayer of childlike faith. So that's a really good, helpful answer. And I think, you know, as we look at this here, that we can't do any good without the Lord's blessing. So ultimately, we're expressing that dependence for every good and perfect gift that comes from Him. Now, Mike, the Heidelberg also says here that one of the things that we're asking for in this prayer is to help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put our trust in the Lord alone. That's an interesting way to put that. What do a lot of people look to right now to solve all of our problems in this country? It is the government. Everyone wants a leader, and rightly so. The Lord gives us leaders to make decisions and to make good decisions, hopefully, we pray for. But there's way too much trust, I think, oftentimes in other creatures, in earthly rulers. And we're not coming to the Lord as the King and Lord of our life in prayer. And I think this particular aspect that the Heidelberg addresses is really training our minds to recognize that our trust needs to be in Him alone, not in anyone else.
That's right. Put not your trust in princes or in the sons of men, in whom there is no salvation. They cannot save you. And anytime you're putting your trust in the government to save you or to fix your problems, you're on a bad road. Ultimately, we need to remember that it's the Lord who provides for us. And He raises kings up and sets them down, as He says in His word. He's the one that appoints them. And of course, we want to be wise with, you know, if we're given the opportunity to elect our leaders, as we are in this country. But even if we elected the best, very best leader, even if we elected a man after God's own heart, he is still fallible. David is a great example of that. David is a king who is righteous, who always trusts in the Lord, who is writing psalms, who is a prophet. And look at his life. Look ultimately what he did. He's still a sinner. He committed adultery. He abused power. He conspired for murder. I mean, he did horrible things that we would expect a president to be locked up for, mm-hmm. and if not executed. And, you know, this is a man after God's own heart. Your leader is not going to save you. Putting your trust in princes or the sons of men is precisely what God does not want you to do. You have to put your trust in the Lord. And the fact is that, you know, regardless of how much money you have, you can still worry about those things. There's a lot of people who are worried about money who are filthy rich. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to somebody who has hundreds of millions of dollars, a believer, and he was saying people think that once they have a lot of money, they're no longer going to worry. He says that's not true.
Right.
Once you get it, you just worry about keeping it and worry about keeping up with others. So you can be a worrier and full of anxiety, or you could be free from worry, whether you are poor or whether you are rich. How much you have really isn't the issue. The issue is your heart. Is it controlling you? And do you ultimately come before the Lord asking Him for your daily bread and then giving Him thanks for the things that He gives you?
Right. I think that's the real, I mean, that's such a helpful point. I think people are often striving to get somewhere, to right. get to a place of financial independence, right? I mean, that's what everyone's sort of searching, and it doesn't bring that. We
right.
know that money does not bring happiness. We know that the scriptures have said the love of money, the love of, is the root of all evil. So we look at this here. Jesus gave this very encouraging statement. We can close the program out, maybe comment on this, Mike. But therefore, don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, notice that's the drive of their life, those outside of the kingdom of God. He says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And this verse sort of summarizes, I think, everything we're after today. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What a great verse. I remember preaching that for a wedding one time. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else that you're often worried about and stressed about, he'll add unto you. In other words, this is really framing that prayer. Glorify the Lord in prayer and express dependence on him and what is most important. He'll take care of what you need.
That's right.
Well, we hope that helped you today to understand more of this wonderful petition the Lord taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Next time, we'll come back and look at the Lord's teaching us to ask for forgiveness and to have the spirit of and desire to forgive others as the Lord has forgiven us. Thanks for tuning in today to the program. We invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Always thankful to Pastor Mike Brown for joining us today on Abounding Grace Radio. Until next time, may this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.
This program was brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio. We encourage your prayerful and financial support. To give your tax-free donation, visit our website at www.agradio.org. That address is agradio.org. There you can learn more about us, who we are, and what we believe. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.